Our capitalist system is based on the movement of money. The people who have it put it where other people can use it and therefore make more money with it. In short, it takes money to make money. And there's the problem for many people who would like a piece of the action. Barriers to investment can be high. A project in the city of Portland to set the barriers a lot lower, in essence letting members of a community buy into owning real estate, commercial real estate. The Community Investment Trust lets people in the community buy into ownership of a commercial building for as little as $10 a month. Let's hear more about it and how universal it could be. John Haynes started the whole issue with the Community Investment Trust when he was at Mercy Corps Northwest. He's with the Big Mercy Corps now, but joins us to talk about the Community Investment Trust in Portland. John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Give us the origin story, if you would, how the idea for CIT came about in the first place.
Okay. Let me take you back several years. We went to an area where Mercy Corps Northwest had done a lot of work and still does, outer southeast Portland, so that if you don't know Portland from the river, if you go out 122 blocks to an area referred to somewhat commonly but derisively as the numbers, where the numbers escalate out into the 200s. So sometimes a bit of the geography of nowhere, but it's a neighborhood where there's a great deal of renters, the biggest, most diverse area of immigrants, refugees, displaced people in the state of Oregon. And we went to an affordable housing agency and to international farmers market, and we simply queried people, asked them, you know, what's missing in the neighborhood, what changes are you seeing, and then I postulated, what would you do with this abandoned building? I mean, would you like to own that? And first of all, people said, you know, what are the limitations to, and what kind of businesses are missing, and what kind of services are missing, and what changes do you see? And, you know, they'd seen gentrification elsewhere in Portland, and they could see it coming to their neighborhood. And gentrification isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it does displace people and change neighborhoods. And they wanted to be a part of it, not a victim to gentrification. So when I pointed to a building that was largely condemned, it's not the one we ended up buying, by the way, but their eyes lit up, and I knew, wow, they're interested in real estate. So I asked, what kind of issues would you have to being an investor in real estate? Number one was they don't understand real estate or investing. They had limited amount of money, $10 to $100 a month. They couldn't risk losing their money, and they didn't understand real estate. And one woman kind of summed it up for me at the time. She says, I'm not looking for a lottery ticket anymore. I'm looking for a long-term investment.
Huh.
So we went back and sharpened our pencils and worked to create a new kind of investment product, and that is what emerged as the Community Investment Trust.
So this is really a real estate investment trust, or a REIT, I think, as people have come to call them, where a bunch of people invest in real estate together?
Initially, REIT was the structure I anticipated. There's some tax advantages to having a REIT, but REITs really have some, number one, there's a 100 investor rule, so you can't create a REIT until you have 100 investors, and then you lose that status if you go below 100. There's also some compliance and some other costs that simply don't make it worthwhile for the tax advantage. The tax advantage for a REIT is the REIT itself does not pay taxes, corporate taxes, but it is passed through to the individuals. And it really didn't work except at a certain, you know, larger scale. So for a project that we were initiating, essentially a $1.2 million property we purchased and put $450,000 of initial down payment into community ownership, it didn't make sense. But we maintained a mimic of largely the REIT transparent principles and added some other ones into it. So we're like a mini REIT, but without the status.
We're talking about the Community Investment Trust in Southeast Portland with John Haynes, who helped set it up through Mercy Corps Northwest. So you mentioned that the neighborhood is called sometimes derisively the numbers. You ended up buying a place that's now called Plaza 122, so that's 122nd Avenue?
Right.
So what were you looking for in a building, though? I mean, what kinds of features did you want, and what kinds of businesses were you hoping would move into it?
Well, this is a commercial retail zone business or building, and it met all the criteria. Number one is it's proximate to people that would be our target investors. So in other words, renters primarily, but people who had never invested before, and were motivated to be, make a first-time investment. So number one was in a neighborhood where there would be, we felt, strong demand and an appropriate number of people that could connect to the building. Number two was that it had some opportunity to generate revenue and a return. So a business that needs to solidify with tenants. Another one is that we really wanted to have a building that's large enough to have a diverse range of tenants, and that was key. When we bought the building, it was underperforming. It was in foreclosure, and it was 60% leased. Some of those tenants weren't even paying rent. So it was a troubled property that we felt we could gain some public attention and interest just simply by, you know, improving it, leasing it up to the kind of businesses the neighbors had told us they want.
So how did you come up with the capital just to make the down payment and to make the initial acquisition?
We used two sources. One was Mercy Corps Northwest, which was until a year ago, was a separate nonprofit and a country program, the only domestic program for Mercy Corps, the international non-governmental organization. We had $250,000 in liquid assets and cash on our balance sheet. So we used 220 of that and put that towards the down payment. And then we found an impact investor, a couple that was willing to put subordinated money into the down payment of 230. So with that 450,000, we used that as the down payment. And that's the amount that the community of investors are purchasing over time on a monthly basis.
They are purchasing the down payment, essentially?
Yes, right.
Okay, so you mentioned that with a REIT, with a standard real estate investment trust, you would have been capped at 100 investors or needed 100 investors. What's the actual number of people who have been able to buy into the community investment trust?
We have 115 today. After a class on Saturday, we should have 125. So I should mention this. Because people had asked for education, we designed a peer learning course we call it Moving from Owing to Owning, translated into 5 languages, and we offer it as a requirement, actually, to investors, and they take it over 2 successive, generally weekend days, 4 hours on 2 Saturdays. But we hold the class anytime that it fits. And some might think, well, that's a constraining factor to getting people to sign up. And in fact, it is, but because people ask for it. And we wanted to test out the hypothesis that if people commit to a class and need a class to find the appropriate amount of an investment, then they're going to be stickier investors. And that's proved to be true at year end. So we've had the investment open for 18 months, 2 months at the end of 2017, and then 12 months of 18. And the investors we had at the end of 2018, every one of them either reinvested at the new share price or held their investment. And we had projected that we'd retain 75%, and that would have been our goal. And 100% of people committed to reinvest.
Wow!
And we feel like we have room based upon just some projections for roughly 400 individual investors, and that touches on average 3.5 family members. People consider it a family investment.
You know, I can only chuckle a little bit about the fact that when I typed in from moving from owing to owning into Google, it came back with, did you mean from owning to owning? So it's sort of like even Google is against the idea of going from a position of debt to a position of ownership.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's amusing, and that's kind of too bad. But, you know, if we do more of these around the region and around the country, maybe that concept will, and the class will elevate in the Google rankings.
We can hope so. John Haynes is with us on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the Community Investment Trust started in Portland by Mercy Corps Northwest, which allows people who don't have a lot of cash on hand to be able to invest in a real estate property, a commercial real estate property, Plaza 122. We're going to get into the replicability, whether they can work in other communities as well. Join our conversation on the Exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So I noticed there's you got dollar amounts here. People can invest for $10, $25, $50, or $100 per month. And is that in perpetuity, or is there a point at which they're totally paid in?
The only limiting factor is the $450,000 in equity.
Mm-hmm.
So after that's purchased out, then the investment path will cease. unless we were to buy another property within the four zip codes. So this is, I should explain the five things that are different about this investment, but it's approximate investment for us. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but we picked four zip codes that that we draw investors from. So it's really limited just about by the base equity that's being purchased out.
Well, and I noticed
that'll take about, at this point, it'll be probably 4 years,
mm-hmm.
3 to 5 years.
3 to 5 before you get it all maxed out. Okay, so then what? And what do people do? They get any sort of dividends or back payment in return while they're?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the key. Is it's a real investment. So let me talk about that. So every year people get a dividend based upon, you know, the cash flow performance of the building. And we had 13 investors at the end of 2017 in 2 months. And those investors got a 9.6% dividend return on their money. The investors at the end of 18, and we had 97, got 8.9%. So we get an audit every year and calculate the dividend. And then, so that's the short-term return. The long-term return, which is more significant on this property, was the share price started at $10. And at the end of 18, we repriced the share based upon the value change and paid down a debt. Much like with you owning a home, it puts people in that asset building path. It went from $10 to $14.57 a share.
Okay. So is that what people need to buy in now, or can they still buy in for $10 a month?
Well, they buy in at $10. We maintain the investment amount, but they're buying less of a full share.
Mm-hmm. So, and how is the who manages the business, the building rather than the renting of the spaces to businesses?
Well, we have professional property management firm, a big one that works in the region, Norris Stevens. They do a great job. They managed it through its transition with when it was in foreclosure, so they knew the building, and they're professionals. And then our staff at Mercy Corps, we now work for a global innovations team for Mercy Corps because we have a vision for replicating this around the United States. It would be our only significant national program, albeit just starting now in Portland. We manage it. There's a team of two of us and two AmeriCorps Vistas.
So in terms of replicability then, I mean, when what you've done in Portland, does it appear that this is, has it worked well enough? Have you learned enough to be able to pull this off other places, do you think?
We think so and we hope so. For one, the model is different enough in these ways. You know, we've got the education. We've offered a sophisticated investment security offering to unsophisticated, and that's all based on net worth and liquidity. Most of us aren't sophisticated investors. I'm not. But it means basically lower-income people. So we really designed
this. There's no slam by calling them unsophisticated. Just
yeah,
don't know much about
it's
investigating.
It's the legal term, really, or the SEC term. But what's key, Jeff, to this model is that people can get their investment out at any time, and they are guaranteed not to lose their investment principal and even the gain. So we did that through a very novel approach, which we got great help from a large public finance law firm that has an office in Portland. They mostly do municipal bonds, but they're headquartered out of San Francisco and do work globally. And they worked with us on a pro bono basis with just the vision that this is too important to do. It's complicated. Nobody's done it. And it feels appropriate to protect investors from loss. So what they did, and this gets a little nerdy, but I'll mention it. It's essentially a credit-backed bond structure, and we mimicked it for this product. And what that means is sometimes bonds are higher risk, and they put a letter of credit behind the bond to elevate its rating so it can sell. And we essentially mimicked that through the guidance of ORIC, our law firm, pro bono law firm. And they floated it by securities people in D.C. and the state of Oregon. And they gave it the approval that if you can protect these investors from loss, then you can offer a sophisticated investment to unsophisticated investors. So we have a direct pay letter of credit from our bank based on the value of the property that stands in place to protect the investors from loss.
Wow. So whatever they put in, they're going to get back.
Yes.
plus whatever got gained over the time. So right. so let's talk about how people cash out. Can they cash out at any time? Is there a, you know, they have to be in for 2 years, 5 years, something like that?
No, any time. You could be in for 1 month,
mm-hmm.
and you give us notice. It's all on an online portal that we have, and you get your money out within, depending on the day you do it, within 15 or 20 days generally. Now, we've only had four people cash out, yeah, that's key to it. If people have an emergency or they're moving, whatever it is, whatever reason, they can cash out at any time.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned four people cashed out. Don't know the circumstances, but in general, have you seen people, have you seen this have the effect you hoped it would have? I know it's only, you know, 18 months in, but have you had a chance to see people climb out of debt, pay off some things they had that were hanging over them?
Yeah, you know, the best, that's been really one of the most heartening things is that people have stated that it's improved their lives. So let me just grab some numbers here that reflect that. We survey people at year end, and the impact we heard is that 96% reported that they're using financial planning techniques to stay on track towards their goals. 33% reported improved credit score. 98% they were extremely likely or already have referred a friend to the CIT. And then this was a heartening one. It's non-financial, but 65% reported becoming more involved in the community and participating in community meetings and being involved as an owner as opposed to being a renter or the feeling that they were on the sidelines. So it's activated people. And what we track for outcomes are, number one, is the property performing well to deliver a return. So we have that one nailed, really with a high bar for replication. But the property is doing fantastic, and the tenants are performing well. And then we look at the tenant level. Do the tenants feel like they get more traffic, more attention, business, because it's owned by the community? Now, with 115 investors, they're not seeing a lot of traffic, but most of the investors do patronize the businesses in the building and the nonprofits. And we've held community events, and the investors themselves have pulled together some community events, including a welcoming of a homeless shelter, which they did all on their own. And so it's activated people. And then the third return really is the neighborhood safer, more engaged, and equitable through this.
And that would appear to be the case. Okay.
It seems to be happening. So we feel, you know, very strongly that we're past proof of concept. And now we're, you know, just in the last, really since in the last 4 months, we've started sending and we've been talking around the country. Mm-hmm. At numerous places where they ask us to come.
Okay, I get a sense you're going to get a lot more phone calls as time goes on and contact from people. Yeah, who want to get in. A Community Investment Trust is the project we're talking about. John Haynes helped get it started at Mercy Corps in Portland. It's at Plaza 122 in Southeast Portland. John, thanks for joining us to describe the process, and best of luck as the effort moves into the future.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, take it easy.